Monday the 22nd of December, Aleph Chanukah, Rabbi David Roberts, The Roots of Chanukah.
Good morning, Freilich and Lichting and Chanukah. The Roots of Chanukah. Conceptually, some of the ideas that are contained in Chanukah, it's a Yom Tov that is incredibly rich in terms of what the Mefarshim explains the roots to be. Very briefly, because it's Kladoshu Beirabim, something that's been explained many times, is the apparent discrepancy between the emphasis in the Gemara, which is the Gemara that tells us about Chanukah and the Sugya, and what we see in the Siddur. The Gemara Sukasha, that's given its name to the Sugya, My Chanukah. And the Gemara goes on to explain, unlike in the Siddur, maybe start the other way round. In the Siddur, we talk about the nace of the Milchama, almost to the exclusion of the nace of the Neiris. It isn't mentioned at all. Hidliku Neiris Bechatzis Konshecho, no mention of it being in any way miraculous. Whereas in the Gemara, it's the other way round. In the Gemara, it is the Milchama that is mentioned en passant. But it is the nace of the Hadlaka that is focused on. Why is that? And a more subtle question, which we won't answer fully, something to think about, is clearly the twin themes of Chanukah or Hallel and Hoidah. In Al Anisim we finish off Lahoidos Ula Hallel. In the Gemara it finishes off Lashon Acheres Kavim Yomim Tovim Bahalel Vahoidah. The order is reversed. We won't answer both this morning, but it's definitely something to think about. So these are the twin themes. Why the difference in emphasis? So many of the Mefarshim say, they explain that the question in the Gemara, My Chanukah, Rashi says famously, is Al Eizen Nes Kavuha. There were two Nisim. There was the Nes of the military victory, and there was the Nes of the Shemen. And the question of Chazal is Al Eizen Nes Kavuha, which serves as the fundamental, the underlying Nes for which Chazal saw fit to institute a new Yom Tov. And the answer comes back loud and clear. We don't say Hallel every day. Hallel is said for a nace that is incontrovertible, that is something that can't in any way be explained away. And only one of those nisim fall into that category. Defying the laws of physics in such a blatant way was the nace Shemen. Unfortunately, as we know, a nace of a nitzachon of a milchama, one only needs to look into our recent past to see, without going into the machlokes between Rav Moshe and the Satmarov, whether it was a nace or not, or whether it was a nace nigla or not, but certainly the ability to turn things round and not to be makir of the Yad Hashem and to recognize and to say instead, koichi voitz and yadi, is something that one can say about a milchama. Guerrilla tactics, they were great fighters, and one can unfortunately deny the emes. That's a question of hoidah. Being makir, choosing to recognize, being moida, to see the Yad Hashem in events which could be misconstrued and be seen just as being another milchama, that is hoidah. Hallel is said for that which is clearly a nace. And therefore the shine of the Gemara, in terms of which nace did they see fit for to be keveya a new Yom Tov, it is the Nes Shemen. But the tachlis of Hallel, the tachlis of Nes, what is the purpose of Nes? Is to be makir the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and then to transmute, to utilize that hakara, that perspective, and bring it into our everyday lives. Bahalel v'hoida'ah. So the tachlis of the Gemara is to come and to be makir. And therefore, of course, the bracha, which is nisaken in moedim, in hoida'ah, I'm sure you've heard many times, there's a famous vort from Rav Huttner here, where he talks about the idea that Hoidah incorporates two ideas. In Yiddish, danken und nachgeben, to thank, to be modest to thank, but it has another connotation, and it is to acknowledge. And Rav Huttner says a beautiful vort, which you can explain in a number of different places, in Moedah Ani, in a number of other places, but how do you know which is the connotation? He says if it goes on to say sheh, then it means to acknowledge. So in Moedim he says the main purpose of Moedim is not actually the main, is not to thank, but to acknowledge. That's what it means to be a Yehudi, to be Moedim, to bind out, to bend our spine in submission and to say Moedim anachnu loch. We recognize Shoatahu Hashem Elokeinu. It's not me. It's not Keichi Veitzim Yodi. It's you. And therefore, in that, in Moedim, what we're doing is we are recognizing the Yad Hashem in things that otherwise we could chas v'shalom deny. And therefore, of course, the emphasis in that part of Tfilah is Avada the Meis Muhammad. That's the Ikkah. That's the Tachlis, to bring a Yid to being a Yehudi, to being Moedim. And of course, once we acknowledge, once we appreciate, once we perceive the Yad Hashem in everything that we do, Avada and Avada, of course we thank Him. It's the natural byproduct. Those that Dvarim are doing, that's the Aleph base. The Sasemes, in many places in Hanukkah, makes the following comment, which we won't explain fully, but it brings out what I'd like to try and talk about. He says these twin concepts of Hallel and Todah correspond to Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef corresponds to the concept of Hallel, and Yehuda, which is self-evident, is the concept of Hodah. It's in his very words. It was Moedim, it was Moedim, Aitama, many other places. And it's the synthesis of these two. It's bringing Hallel and Hodah together. What Hanukkah is about, as we look at its roots historically, is about synthesis of these two ideas, bringing them together, because there is an apparent tension between them, which plays itself out in the apparent, in various times in our history, it plays itself out in tension between Yehuda and Yosef. I'll go through the broad schema first. Tension between Yehuda and Yosef, Pirud Levavos, Golus, and then Geula being brought back together again, partly through Yehuda and partly through Levi, as we'll see. Let's switch tack for a second, very quickly. There's a comment from the Megala Amukos. He says that Golus Yavon is to be Mechata. The purpose of Golus Yavon is to be Mechata for the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. It's a cryptic comment. Megala Mukes is a very difficult sefer to learn and to understand. It's full of Kabbalah. I certainly don't claim to understand it, but perhaps we can begin to explain this a little bit. There's a very famous comment, and I was searching through my notes. I couldn't find whether I've mentioned it in this forum before or not, but I'm sure you've heard it, so I'll skip through it very briefly. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikun Damo, makes a very famous comment in his Mamorim, and he asks a very blatant question, a very obvious question if you think about it. He says, we know that every sheker has to have, if you want a sheker to have legs to travel, what you have to do is take a grain of truth, dress it up, warp it, distort it, and tell it to one friend with very strict instructions not to tell anyone. And that's how a rumor is born. That's how it goes. But there has to be a grain of emes in it. There's got to be some grain of emes in it. Doctor, how is it possible, why is it and how is it that the Rabbeinu Shlomo was mesaved that over the centuries, and it started in England, of course, first of all in Norwich in 11 something or other, I forgot, the 11, yeah, you all know, right, and then it spread from there to Europe, the concept of Alilas Dam, and we say Alilas Dam, has brings it to the Hilchos Pesach. He says that's why Nimnanu, it's why we don't have red wine on Pesach night, some we have wine, even though halachically it would be preferable to use red wine. Nimnanu, not because of the Alilas Dam, which is something that Leiden never clearly so we've suffered from over the years, over the centuries. But we stay away from Dam in every form. Anybody knows anything about Yiddishkeit knows that it's an Imgamsun Asheker. So it doesn't have a the tiniest kernel or grain of truth. So why did the Rabbeinu Shlomo be misavered that should be the agent through which we should suffer over the years if there's no emes? Zokter, he proposes an amazing chiddush. He says, Elamai, you must say, there is a grain of truth in it. And he says, it all harks back to the Vayitbelu es putomtoi badam. It all comes back from Chilus Yosef. When we were for the first time, Klal Yisrael utilized dam as the original, as an agent of sinner between brother and brother. It goes without saying in a forum like this, it doesn't need to be said, we have no hasaga whatsoever who or what the Shrotim were, their gadlus, their greatness, and yet, as the Rishonim explain, there was a grain of sinner and kinna which through which they came to the, they came ultimately to the wrong decision. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Nimele says Rabbi Chanan, this is what, where it comes back from, and he finishes off and he says, and he realizes it's a tremendous chiddush. He says, "Im shavisi yichaper Hashem badi." This should be wrong. Hashem should be mechaper for me. That's what he says. The Meshech Chochma, and there's a lot to be said on that. One of the obvious questions is, if that's the case, asks the Beri Yosef, then surely the Rabbeinu Shalom should have been mesavev. It's something to do with selling. If it was the selling that was the blood and the dipping in was almost an afterthought. It was the way that we get out of it. It's the damage limitation exercise. Surely it would have made more sense that the Rabbeinu Shalom would have been mesavev. If he wanted us to get the message, it should be something which would have been central to the mechira. And there's a vote from Matsyo Shlita many years ago. I'm not sure whether it's in Sefer, that it was it's that point from a Musa perspective. It was at that point what Gedaft happened. Initially, they thought that what they were doing was Mina Shamayim. When they thought it was L'shem Shamayim, they thought it was the right thing. So then, why are they held culpable? They brought the Rabbeinu Shalom in on them, and they made a Cheirim. So, at what point should they have chapped? Said Rabbi Yosef, they should have chapped when they went home, and they should have said to their father, Tata Liba, Merkava Lashchina, we've been Dan Yosef as a Roedef, we think that he's been a Roedef, we sat down, and we duly constituted as a Basin, and this is the decision that we've come to, and we've had to say, why are you covering up? At that point they should have chapped. If you're so sure of your conviction this is the right thing to do, at that point they should have chapped, and it is for that they're culpable, and that's why it's through the Dan. So, the Meshech Chochma says, he takes this idea further, and he says that the makor, the root of all averus, bein adam lamakom is mechiras Yosef, whereas the makor of all averus, bein adam lachaveroi, and I should add, I suppose, as a nation, and the makor of all averus, bein adam lamakom is of course the ego. And with this, he says a beautiful chat in what we say in the Lashon and the Nusach Hatfila. We say in the Yomim Neiroim, we say very unusual Nusach. Ki atos solchon li Yisrael u'machon on l'shivte Yeshurun b'chol d'ayr v'adayr. Of chat, what's this double expression? He says that's what it means. Atos solchon li Yisrael refers to the Rabbeinu Shalom being soleach klal Yisrael for the averus bein odom la'mokim, i.e. the ego. U'machon on l'shivte Yeshurun is the averu that was done by the shivte Yeshurun who was l'chayt mechirus Yisrael. In Haftarah, on Shabbos, we read, Koyomar Hashem, al shloisho pishe Yisroel, val arbo lo yashivenu, al michron bakesef tzadik, evyin bavon alayim. And here we begin to understand, we begin to uncover a theme here, says the Rabbeinu Shlomo. For three averus, the three cardinal sins, of course you'll have to be punished, but it's shayach mechila, it's shayach slicha. You have to go to Golos, the Beis HaMikdash has to be Necharav, but 70 years later, we can have a Beis HaMikdash back, although it was only a shadow of its Kananas Bifnei Anak, it's not the same as the first one, but it's sad. But the Al Arba Loi Ashivena. But for the fourth Avera, which is rooted in Sinas Chinom and Lashon Hara, Loi Ashivena. And that is Al Michron Bakesef Tzadik, Evian Babur Nalayim. Why the shoes is another whole story. But the selling of Yosef, that's difficult. That's a problem. And that's where we are today. What's the Hezbollah? What's the explanation? The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael explains as follows. He says, Bais Rishon was Omad al Koyach Kedushas Avos. Bais Rishon was established on the basis of the Zechus Avos and the Kedusha of the Avos. That was the Yisoid, the spiritual Yisoid of the Bayis, was the Kedusha of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore it was Nechrav, therefore it was destroyed when those three pillars of Torah, Avodah, and Kvilus Chasodim, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, were undermined through the three Averus of Avodah Zorah, Gilah, Arayis, and Shlichus Damim, and he goes on to explain how they correspond to each other. But Bayis Sheni was built on this, on another kedusha altogether. It's the kedusha of Knesset Yisrael, the collective greatness and the relationship of the Rabbeinu Shalom to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it was the pirud. It was when there was pirud, when there was internecine hatred, when there was Sinas Chinam, when there was Lashon Hara, it was that that brought the Beis HaMikdash down. The Mamma Chazal, the Medrash, is well known. Choshech Zuyavon, right? The Medrash right at the beginning of the Torah. Choshech Zuyavon, Shehechshicha Seineyam Shal Yisrael, Shal Klal Yisrael Bigzei Roysam. Choshech refers to Yavon, in that Yavon darkened our eyes with their Gzeiros. They said, Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Asher, She'elachem Chelek Velikei Yisrael. And this is a phrase, just quickly translated, write for yourselves on the horn of an ox, that you have no portion in Elokei Yisrael. And there's many, many, many things to be said on this. But let's just try and take it Kipshuta and tell you what the Maral says. Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Asher, She'elachem Chelek Velikei Yisrael. It's almost oxymoronic. It's almost self-contradictory. Write for yourselves on the horn of an ox that you have no part in Elokei Yisrael. It doesn't say there is no such thing as Elokei Yisrael, but Elochem Chelek Belokei Yisrael. You are not worthy. You surely are not worthy of being of the title of having a Chelek in Elokei Yisrael. Of course. They understand that at one point there was this special thing called Elokei Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shlomo made a bris with the Avos, but you proved yourselves unworthy. Ein lachem chelek be'Elokei Yisrael. And more than that, says the Maral, although there are many things that can be said about the Keren, but the Keren is strong. The Keren is intrinsic to the Shoyer. It says the Maral, right from the word go, you proved unworthy of being having a chelek in Elokei Yisrael. Your chatoim, and this is the main tine of the Goyim, says the Maral, your chatoim are not aberrations, they're not anomalies, they're not things which are extrinsic, that are advarim chitzoinim, but they are intrinsic. This is what the Goyim say, Chas v'Shalom. They say that what's the raya? Right from the start, right from the word go, very shortly after you formed the base of a nation, Yud Beis Shvatim, or virtually the first thing that you do is Mechiras Yosef. Few weeks after Matan Torah on the Ben Avon Lamokim side, only a few weeks after Matan Torah, there's the ego, and both of them, of course, are shoyer. But Asher Britzoinam Ikru Shoyer, Rashi on that Medrash says it refers to the ego. But the other are other Mepharshim that say, of course, it's the other thing. These two things, going back to the Meshech Chochma, these two Averis, which are the Mekoyros of all Averis Ben Avon Lamokim Ben Avon Chaveroi, both find their nexus in shoyer. Kisvu lachem al keren asher, birtzeinam ikru sher, Yosef is b'chayr sheroi hadar loy. And these are the twin themes that we're tackling when it comes to Hanukkah. By the way, just as an aside, but an important aside, it's something that you can take away and run with. Yosef is both zon zoyna. Yosef is these two concepts of sustenance and parnasa, and the ability to retain kedusha sabris, to retain kedusha and withstand arayas, both come from the same makor. They share the same roots. The word zon and zoyna, it's the same thing. And in Chanukah also, that koshni yadam b'mamoinam u'b'bnei sehem. And Vateka Kafierach Yaakov also in the Gid Anosha also refers to these two things, the Aroyim, those the Yotze Chalotzov, and the Tamchin Doraisa, those that support the Torah. It's very frightening to know see what's going on nowadays. If you think a little bit about what's going on nowadays, what these are the two things, certainly in recent months, the agents that the Rabbeinu Shlomo is using to attack us. The arrays that are everywhere, that are ubiquitous, that are now in everybody's living room and everybody on everybody's hip, and that anybody can access. And the Tamchin Doraisa, the financial pillars of the world that are being so shaken by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Just a thought. If we go back and we think, we realize that the Shoyer, one of the Shoyers at least, was that of the Eagle, we now can understand why it was the Koyanim. If that's the problem, Kisvu lachem al keren asher, that your chatoim go back at least partly to the ego, one of the aspects of shoyer, then who has to bring about this, the synthesis, bring things back together again? Who's going to be the agent to be ma'achid klal Yisrael? It'll be Levi, of course. And therefore it was the Kohanim, the Bnei Levi at the time of Hanukkah, that the Yeshua happens through them. They were the ones that fought on the Aegon. The only problem is here, and maybe I'm just thinking something that I haven't really explained enough, is the idea, of course, that B'Shechem Nechlekah HaMelucha, if we look throughout history what's happened, in Shechem it was where the Melucha split. Again, another episode of Pirud, of Golus, of Pirud Levavis, at least between Yehuda and Ephraim. And that goes back to the place where they sold Yosef. They sold him in Shechem. But the question over here is that Levi was part of Mechiras Yosef. Levi was part of Mechiras Yosef. What happened? How is it that Levi was at the Egel? Something has happened over here. And this is the lesson of Hanukkah. Because Levi started off, if you think about it, Shimon v'Levi achin klei chomos v'chei roiseyem b'rtsoinom ikrusher, says Chazal, Yaakov was saying, they were the key ones that were instrumental in this Akirat Hashem. They were instrumental in the sale of Yosef. But if we watch Levi's progress throughout history, we see something amazing happens. And the first time that we see that they begin to diverge is at the Egel. Until then, the first episode that we had Shimon and Levi teaming up to create the Mechira, and Yaakov castigating them for it. They were agents of Pirud, agents of Golus. When it comes to the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu issues his clarion call, Mil Hashem Elai, and it is Levi that responds. And here they begin to diverge, and Levi uses this koyach almost to move from jealous, being jealous, to being zealous. And then we move on. In the final test, you have Pinchas. Pinchas is Bnei Levi. And then we find him pitted against his former partner, in crime as it were, Lahavdil. He's pitted against Shimon, against Zimri. And he's Moisa Nefesh. He attains Kahuna. And then he morphs into Eliyahu, whose tachlis ultimately will be to create Shalom. Levi manages to do it. How is that so? L'chayra, there can only be one answer. This is the message of Levi. What Levi has done is that he's taken Matan Torah, and as the Rambam says famously in the end of Hilchos Shmita of Yovel, what Shevet Levi stands for, they become Kisifte Koyen Yishmeru Dav Torah Yevakshu Mipiyu. They become those that learn and absorb Torah and utilize it for something that we've spoken about here before, which is utilizing that which the Rabbeinu Shlolem used as the agent of creation to recreate ourselves. Rabbi Shlomo Salanta says that Meirud Dikavot, I've said it here before. Rabbi Ruchem brings it. What's Pshat Haloimid Al Manos Laasayis? Maspika Biyode Lilmud Ulalamid Lishmoy Valaasayis. At one level, says Rabbi Shlomo, means it's a tnai in the nes. You have to understand that when we approach Torah was that which Yisakel Beiraisu Bara Alma, the Rabbeinu Shlomo used it to change, to create Yesh Me'ayin. We can take that, and if we apply it and we learn it correctly, and we approach it correctly, and we understand Hashem Baruch Habonu, then Torah and only Torah can be used to recreate, to change ourselves, to change our own teva. That's what Levi did. Using the Koyach HaTorah, he moved from originally being that agent of Pirud, of Golus, after Matan Torah, to fighting for the Rabbeinu Shlomo, to the extent that ultimately with Pinchas, he fights against his former colleague. He fights against Levi. Against Shimon. And the Medrash is a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash in Shmos then holds up Levi as being the paradigm, the exemplar of brothers that do get on, Moshe and Aaron. The exact opposite. Vayemar Hashem el Aaron lech likras Moshe amibara hadohu dichsiv mi yitemcha ka'ochli. Pasuk in Shashirit, I wish that you would be like a brother to me. Be'ezer achakosu medaber, asks the Medrash. Im teim abekayin v'hoksi v'yokum kainel hevel avadochiv yargeit. Im Taimaki Yishmael Yitzchak can't be. Yishmael hates Yitzchak. If it's Esav Liyakov, it also can't be. Ache Yosef, it also can't be. Vaikanu Bayechov. K'moshe le'aron Shenema v'yelech v'yifkusheyu b'har olikim v'yishak lo v'roach v'somach b'liboy. Aaron was the Navi long before Moshe in Mitzrayim. These two brothers from Levi, B'koyach HaTorah, Aaron then becomes the Oyev Shalom v'Roid of Shalom. That's the tikkun for the Chet Mechiris Yosef through Torah. They love each other. They give cover to each other. They recognize each other's gadlus, and they bring about the rapprochement that is necessary between Yehuda and Yosef. And this is where we find there's much more to say on the topic, but that is, those are some of the ideas. What we find in Chanukah is we find, as we said from the beginning of the Haftarah in Vayeshev, says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this is Al Michron Bakeset Tzadik. This harks back to the Chet Mechiris Yosef. It was a time in Klal Yisrael where there was tremendous Pirud Levavos. There were the Misyavnim, they were in the Roiv, and they were going about doing their own thing. And then the Chashmonoim, of course the Bnei Levi, again exhibited this koyach of Mesirus Nefesh, but not to fight each other, but to fight for Klal Yisrael. It was seemingly a hopeless cause. They were really putting themselves on the line. But the tikkun of the Chet of Mechiris Yosef was not to sell their brother, but to go out of their way to fight for each other, to fight for Klal Yisrael. And that brought about the tremendous mace. The twin themes are Halal and Hadar. Yosef lived his life at a level which was way above Hadar. He saw in everything. He was makir nes in everything. When the brothers at the end of after Yaakov had died, they were worried and they came to see him. He didn't know what they were going on about. He said, "Elikim chashov al ha'tova." He lived his life at a level of this. Yehuda was at a level of hakara. It was a lower level. The tachlis is to use Chanukah, and then of course it becomes the choshech. It becomes the oyer of Torah, specifically Torah Shebaal Peh, incidentally, which the Medrash in Noach also calls choshech. But using that gives us Torah Shebaal Peh. Where did we get Torah Shebaal Peh from? According to the Midrashim and the Beis Halevi, it was the Shviras Haluchos. Because before the Shviras Haluchos, they would have learnt Torah, there would have been no forgetting, there would have been no Amol Batorah. So it was as a result of that Avera of Shoyer that gave us Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's utilizing that Oyer and that Koyach of Torah that brings us Lahoidei Sulahale L'Shim HaGod.